Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Tomorrow, San Diego State, the 5 seed in Louisville, will be taking on Alabama, 1 seed Alabama. I know fans of San Diego State will be rooting for San Diego State, but I actually think a lot of fans nationally are going to jump on that bandwagon tomorrow as San Diego State plays at Louisville against Alabama. Here to talk about it, John Schaefer, who is the voice of San Diego State Athletics on the pre- and the post-game show, hosts his own radio show in San Diego on 760 AM. John Schaefer joining us from Louisville, Kentucky. What's the sights and the sounds there?
You know, it's good to be in Louisville, and John, I appreciate you having me. It's exciting to be here. I mean, it's been quite a past year for the Aztecs because, you know, they went to Orlando last weekend. We were there, and now back to San Diego and then back across the country to Louisville. So there's easier paths probably, but you'll go anywhere for a win. And, you know, San Diego State's won a couple of games pretty convincingly in the round of 32 against Furman. Obviously, it stiffens against the University of Alabama, but, you know, they're excited to be here, and they think it's a really good opportunity.
What would winning this game mean to San Diego State Athletics?
Well, I think it's fair to say you're talking about potentially the biggest win in school history, certainly on the basketball side, and, you know, maybe just in athletics. I mean, I really think it's that significant. This is just their third Sweet 16. All of them have come since 2011 in the Steve Fisher, Brian Dutcher era. They played Sweet 16s in Anaheim in 2011 and 2014 and had chances to win those games against the University of Connecticut, who won the national championship with Kemba in 2011, a really good game when Kawhi Leonard was an Aztec. 2014, they took on Arizona in the Sweet 16 and lost that game, also in Anaheim. So this is a huge game. I mean, that's not just, you know, cliche. It really is for San Diego State. They've never been to the Elite Eight. You know, the University of Alabama has only been to the Elite Eight one time. So it's not like, you know, either of these programs have you know, had a track record of getting to Final Fours. So it's a huge opportunity. Obviously, with all the attention around the future of San Diego State's athletic programs, will they be moving to a Power 5 conference? Is the Pac-12 a possibility? The Big 12, whatever it is, I think that there's a lot of attention. It's a large stage. They've really played well. And, you know, I really think they're looking forward to it. And they're kind of primed for this moment to see if they can take advantage.
Obviously, there's the news conferences, and you get a chance to hear the Alabama players, the coach, and a lot of questions right now for Alabama with Nate Oates and Brandon Miller. What has that been like?
It's unique, I would say that. You know, I actually thought there might be more questioning. I thought you might even have national media members asking San Diego State about, you know, what impact could that potentially have? You know, how would you deal with this? But that didn't. The Aztecs really haven't faced that type of line of questioning about Brandon Miller. I've read the transcripts of all the Alabama press conferences here over the last couple of days, whether it was in their first round site in Birmingham or here heading into the Sweet 16. And, you know, I thought there might even be more attention on it. I mean, there's certainly questioning about the program, Brandon Miller. You know, what does this mean? But, you know, I don't think it's taken over the way some people maybe thought it would. Maybe if they reach the Final Four, it kind of reaches a crescendo to some extent. But, I mean, listen, Alabama, since this tragic situation, has played some of its best basketball of the year. So certainly it hasn't gotten to them as of yet. Could that change moving forward? I think it's a possibility. But to this point, it really hasn't impacted their play on court.
San Diego State, you know, it's been about 5-6 years where they really have just been solid. How has that happened? How did that form?
I mean, they got a really, you know, John, I think it goes back, you know, you're talking about really 2 decades. I mean, I think since Steve Fisher got here in 1999, I heard Brian Dutcher, his lead assistant for all those years, who's the current head coach at San Diego State. I heard Brian Dutcher once on a national radio interview. His words, I think, were that San Diego State basketball, when they got to San Diego, was a wasteland for college basketball. And that was 1999. And from that point forward, they're one of the great success stories in the country. And it's not easy to do what they've done out of the Mountain West, where they've been to the NCAA tournament. I don't have the exact number, but you're in the neighborhood of 15 times in the last 20 years. And you're in, you know, something like, you know, 10 of the last 12 tournaments. They had a 30-2 team in 2020 that didn't get to participate. because of COVID that would have been a two seed in the West. So Steve Fisher really built this thing from the ground floor, and that's, you know, not overstating it. And then Brian Dutcher has really continued to keep it where it was. And, you know, they're in a position where they believe that year in and year out, not only should they get to the NCAA tournament, but the expectations in San Diego are for them to win games in the tournament. And when they lost last year to Creighton in the first round and blew a late lead, it was disappointing. So that's where the state of the program is. They don't just expect to get into the NCAA tournament. They think they can win in the tournament. It's a little bit of a validation here this year. You have a lot of fifth and even a sixth-year player on this team that has, they've done everything. They've won everywhere, except they hadn't won in the NCAA tournament with this group. Now they have, and they feel like with this veteran group, they might just be in the right space, in the right spot, in the right time.
You brought up the team that finished that 2020 season 30-2, ranked sixth in the final AP poll. That team didn't get to play. The influences from there, you know, we're talking three seasons later, but you still have some of those kids who are now older, wiser, better for it, and probably more appreciative of the opportunity.
Yeah, it's extremely well said. And, you know, I think that's exactly where we are. I think you got some former players that, you know, some of the current team is living through probably some of the former players that never got a chance to play in the NCAA tournament. You know, they had three players on that team that were three of their stars that never once played in the tournament because they had transferred in. So Malachi Flynn, who's been in the NBA for the last 4 or 5 years at the Toronto Raptors, or 3 or 4 years, whatever that math would tell you, he never played the NCAA tournament. Washington State transfer, sat out a year in San Diego, was as good of a player as there was in the country, a top five type player in the country that year. He didn't get to participate. Yanni Wetzel was a Vanderbilt transfer. They went 0-18 at Vanderbilt the year before. He came here, they went 30-2, he didn't get in. And then K.J. Fagan, a Santa Clara guard, who was just a tremendous all-around player, never played at Santa Clara and never got a chance to participate. But there's still four players from that team that are on this team. And I think some of those former players are living vicariously through these current players. And I think some of these current players are playing for players like Malachi Flynn, and you're seeing it all kind of come full circle right now.
Our guest, John Schaefer, hosts an afternoon drive show on Sports 760 in San Diego, also does the pre- and post-game on San Diego State Athletics broadcasts. You mentioned the Pac-12 or Big 12. President at San Diego State has got some connections with the Pac-12. She worked at Arizona. She got her degrees at Cal. You've got J.D. Wicker, the AD. He worked at Washington State once upon a time. This feels right. You and I have talked about this before, John, but you know, what would getting into the Pac-12 mean for San Diego State?
It would be, you know, it'd be significant. It really would. I think it's a validation as well of a lot of the work that you know, Adela De La Torre, the president, current president of the university, J.D. Wicker, current athletic director you just referenced. It's a lot of work that they've really put into position San Diego State to be in this situation should an opportunity have presented itself. And it's hard to argue with their timing. I mean, they spend hundreds of millions of dollars on land acquisition and building a brand new football stadium that a lot of people believe is kind of the future of college football stadiums in this country, with the amenities and the sizing of it in Snapdragon Stadium. It's been very well received in San Diego. And then you just have academic and athletic success that they've had. I mean, it's hard to argue with their athletic success. You know, the football program has consistently won since Brady Hoke got here initially in 2009, then Rocky Long took over, now Brady's back. You know, they haven't had that one Boise State season. They haven't had that perfect season. But 2 years ago, they were 12-2. And they've beaten a lot of Pac-12 football teams along the way over the last decade. And then the men's basketball program has just been so consistently good that I think athletically they're in a position where I think it makes a lot of sense. I think to some extent they've earned it. We know that Power 5 invitations don't necessarily work that way. But they're also in Southern California. And then academically, it is a really good institution that continues to grow, and, you know, some of the terms that I wasn't necessarily familiar with, but their future is going to be as a Research One institution. That's a value to other members of the Pac-12. So it's kind of hard to see what San Diego State doesn't possess or won't possess that, you know, would keep them on the outside looking in. I think they've basically done the things that are necessary. Now it's just that last checkbox, which is getting an invitation, whether it's the Pac-12 or the Big 12.
Yeah, I want to play a cut. Adela De La Toro, the president of San Diego State, was did an interview with you guys on 760 in San Diego. Here's what she said at the end of this interesting cut. I want people to hear it.
So we are highly competitive. as an institution. We are in terms of academics, but we're also highly competitive in terms of athletics. And I have to say, we are incredibly well positioned, and we are going to move forward, I think, with an opportunity in the not too distant future.
It sounds like she knows something, doesn't it?
You know, it's hard to really it's hard for me to really say. You know, I would say that, you know, they're acutely aware of, obviously, the circumstances that have played out. I mean, you know, what are the odds, John, that USC and UCLA in the heat of the night, or maybe what's the night during the day, leave for the Big Ten? I mean, that would have been hard to fathom even 24 months ago. I mean, even with everything that's transpired in conference realignment, I mean, everything, you know, from Maryland and Rutgers, that would have been hard to imagine as well. There's been a lot of this happens. I mean, this is consistently happening over the last 30 years, even more than that, if you follow realignment. So to be in Southern California as the other, you know, Division I institution, the FBS football institution, there's nowhere else you can really turn. And it's not like San Diego State is the team that goes 0-12 every year in football and doesn't win in basketball. I mean, they've made the investment. They're in a very large city. It's not Los Angeles, but it's a very large city. So I think they recognize the fact that they've done the work that puts them in the position to be where they are. So obviously, you know, me personally, I don't know all of the, you know, what's transpiring behind the scenes and how this will ultimately play out, but I think they're probably feeling like they're in a good position, which is also the opinion of a lot of people that kind of cover this for a living, that it just makes a lot of sense for San Diego State to kind of be the next school up to climb that ladder to the Power Five.
Yeah, it feels like a no-brainer. If I'm San Diego State, though, I do use the Big 12 for leverage against the Pac-12, meaning you don't want to come into the conference at a reduced distribution. You don't want to come in at no distribution in year one or two, like has been speculated about SMU. You've got options if you're San Diego State. But, John, let me ask you, all things being equal, they get two invitations, one's from the Big 12, one's from the Pac-12. The money's about the same. Does San Diego State want to be in the Pac-12? Has that it been in their heart for a long time, or is that a to-be-determined conversation?
You know, I think, first of all, it's a hot-button topic in San Diego. Doing a sports talk radio show, there's a lot of conversation about that. You know, are the Aztecs better suited to the Pac-12? What's the future of the Pac-12 look like? What's the future of the Big 12 look like? What provides more stability? What makes more sense? You know, without being able to speak entirely for, you know, J.D. Wicker or Della De La Torre, you know, in my opinion, based on, you know, just being around these programs and being in San Diego, I think the Pac-12 makes more sense. Now, I think there's pros and cons on both sides. I don't think either are perfect. I really don't. Obviously, what's emerged here is the SEC and the Big Ten have kind of climbed away from these other three, quote-unquote, power leagues. But with that being said, I believe that the geography and the academic fit is of importance to San Diego State University. I don't know if it's the end-all, be-all at the end of the day, like you said, but I think if all things were equal and if the Pac-12 stability was guaranteed for some amount of time, to me, I think the Pac-12 makes sense. If I was making the decision, and again, I don't think it's the easiest decision. I think there's a lot that goes into it, but I do think I would lean towards the Pac-12, what it would mean for San Diego State's academics, their future enrollments, where they're drawing their student body from, and also what it means from an athletic perspective to be playing schools in the state of California, in the state of Arizona, in the Pacific Northwest. To me, that makes more sense than playing games in Morgantown and Cincinnati and Orlando.
At some point in any bracket, you're going to have to beat somebody who's picked to win the whole thing, and a whole bunch of people right. picked Alabama to win the whole thing. So here's San Diego State's moment. But if we peek ahead here, win this one and you get the winner of Creighton and Princeton, I kind of like that path if you're trying to get to a Final Four, don't you?
You're exactly right. I mean, at some point to win six straight, you're going to be, you know, a darn good team. You're going to earn it. It's very rare to see someone, quote-unquote, get lucky. I mean, that just doesn't happen in this event. And sometimes you get unlucky, and you have to play multiple really, really good teams like the University of Alabama. What's really interesting here, and it's hard to look past Alabama, obviously, but if they get past the game, the possibility of playing Creighton is really intriguing because Creighton beat San Diego State last year in the first round of the NCAA tournament. In a game, the Aztecs had locked up. They led by 9 with 3 minutes to play, and they lost the game. Creighton tied the game in regulation, won it in overtime. It was really a I mean, obviously, just defined their season, but it really defined this past season as well. A lot of the players came back trying to really flip the script on what happened against Creighton a year ago, and here they are in the Sweet 16, possibly a game away from matching up with the Creighton Blue Jays for a chance to get to the Final Four. So that would be absolutely fascinating. Again, you got to get through this gauntlet of the University of Alabama, the top-seeded team in the tournament. I don't think it's going to be easy. But I do think if you look at what the Aztecs have done this year, just six losses, they've been in every game they've played but one when they lost to Arizona and Maui, which also kind of flipped the script on their season, and they really changed the way they do things after that Arizona game. So San Diego State's got a great defense. They're typically in games, and you know I do expect them to be in it tomorrow, and we'll see what happens late.
All right, so yeah, a lot of people will talk about Matt Bradley when they talk about this team, but who needs to play really well to beat Alabama?
This is, it's fascinating because the thing with San Diego State is I believe that their best, like, the parts are one thing, but when you put them together as a unit, they're really special. And they play nine deep, and they truly play nine deep. That's not just me saying that. They're interchangeable. They play nine guys, possibly 20-plus minutes. There's nobody averages 30 minutes on the team. Some of these guys off the bench will play more minutes tomorrow than some of the starters. That's almost inevitable. So for me, it's San Diego State's bench. Can San Diego State's bench provide what the Aztecs are going to need? Alabama's got a very good bench as well, but can San Diego State's bench be the difference? They got four really good players off their bench, a couple of forwards, a fifth-year guy like Booker Rope, who is a do-everything guy. They got a great shooter off the bench, two of them, Micah Parrish and Adam Seiko. It's just the right combination. They need to keep all these guys fresh. They're going to play nine. You can see nine guys play essentially 20 minutes in a game like this. But it's really this collection of parts. It's the fact that they don't have one individual star. Even Matt Bradley's numbers have come down this year, but the team has improved, and I think it speaks to the depth overall of San Diego State.
Yeah, you really talk about eight or nine players, and guess what? They're all juniors and seniors. Like, that really matters in a tournament like this. It's fascinating to see all of the upperclassmen who are dominating outside of Arkansas has two really good young players. A lot of experience in this tournament. John, I really appreciate you joining us from Louisville. I hope you get over and get to see the Louisville Slugger plant and the museum. Take some swings in the cage while you're there and enjoy some basketball and stick around a few days.
John, I appreciate it. I was actually just over at the museum. I'm on 4th Street Live right now, and hopefully they can live to see another day after tomorrow against Alabama.
John Schaefer, I appreciate you from 760 a.m. in San Diego, hosts an afternoon drive there, show there, and is the voice in the pre- and post-game show for San Diego State. Tomorrow they will play. That's the number 5 seed. They'll play number 1 Alabama. Steven, they have, like, when you look up and down their roster, he talked about them playing 8 or 9 deep. When you look at the players who are all playing 10 minutes or more, 9 of the 10 players who average 10 minutes or more for that team are juniors or seniors.